and whether the definition of reinfection in the National Public Health Guidelines requires review. If someone is re-exposed to the virus in the 28th day after being released from isolation, they're exempt from further quarantine, a decision last reviewed on 2nd of February. A senior research fellow at the Kirby Institute's Infection Analytics Program, Dr. Deborah Cromer, says the likelihood of acquiring a COVID-19 infection twice is partially dependent on the variant and the time since vaccination. While two doses of the vaccine provide protection against symptomatic disease upwards of 80% or 90% with Delta, with Omicron it drops to about 70% for mRNA vaccinations and 40 to 50% for AstraZeneca. Once receiving a booster shot, though, protection increases to 70 to 80%. Deborah Cromer says, "Very early on, when the original strain was circulating, we were asking how much protection someone who has the disease had from getting the disease again." She adds, "The trials show people who'd had the Pfizer vaccine primary dose have twice as much immunity as someone who's recovered from normal virus. But all vaccines are primarily giving you immunity targeted against the original strain." Deborah Cromer says, "Once someone has acquired the virus, they have specific immunity against that variant, as well as some general immunity against SARS-CoV-2. She says, "You're less likely to get the same variant again, but you're certainly not completely protected. Nevertheless, we would expect it to be less severe. Protection will grow, like what we see with the flu now." While COVID-19 has some key differences from the flu, Dr. Deborah Cromer says similarities exist, as it is possible to have both viruses without symptoms or without mild symptoms, and repeated exposure encourages the body to have good immunity. Deborah Cromer says that's probably where COVID-19 will eventually go, adding, "Each time you experience a SARS-CoV-2 infection, your immunity will be boosted somewhat, which would mean the next time you'll still have some immunity remaining." Clancy Reed first tested positive to the virus during Fiji's second wave in August of last year. Living in Suva, she and her family had lived a relatively COVID-free life until the disaster happened in April. She says, "We were a close contact and all went and got tested. My daughter, who was 2 at the time, was the only one who came back positive," adding, "We were moving houses, it was just a disaster, so we isolated by ourselves, and as soon as we got to the new house, I got really sick." She noted, "It was in the chest, in my breathing. I'd be laying there in the middle of the night thinking, oh God, at what point do you say I need to call it and seek medical attention?" Clancy Reed thinks that if she had been in Australia, she would have admitted herself to hospital, but feared being split from her husband and daughter and getting sicker alone. She says, "The hardest part was not knowing how bad it was going to get. The psychological symptoms were just as bad as the physical ones. Then, after months of slow recovery, the Christmas period arrived and Clancy Reed tested positive again." She says, "We all got sick and I assume it was the Omicron variant. I was flattened for 2 weeks, but it wasn't as frightening. I wasn't in tears in the night thinking, oh my God, am I going to die?" She says, "Now the families that haven't had COVID are nervous. They want to get it over and done with, whereas we're happy to be out and about together. There's an element of relief." Deborah Cromer says that as the pandemic continues, it wouldn't be particularly unlikely to be reinfected with the virus. She Patra says, we've had a relatively small time window for people to have repeated infections in Australia. It might be unlucky now because of that. But from a theoretical point of view, having COVID is not special. You get some level of immunity from having had the disease before and some from vaccination. Both will boost your immunity. Eleanor is still suffering from her exposure to the virus. She first tested positive to COVID at the start of January during the Omicron wave, after her housemate contracted the virus. Eleanor, who did not want to use her surname, had a range of symptoms: headaches, diarrhea, shortness of breath, insomnia, which began to subside within a few days. But then her second housemate returned from work out of town weeks later and tested positive upon his arrival. This time she had different symptoms: fever, chills, cough, and swollen glands. Eleanor is normally an active person. She does rock climbing as well as regular workouts with a personal trainer. She says, "Now I have shortness of breath, a racing heart. I really struggle with exercise and get puffed really easily. And I have an ongoing cough triggered by laughing." She concludes, "I get frustrated by people saying it's a minor cold or flu. I'm a healthy 33-year-old and I've had shortness of breath for over a month now. Getting COVID twice is more than enough."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. As always, I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by my darling sister and special guest, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you, my dear?
I'm very good, thank you. So, I don't know which part of the world you guys are on in. I'm a firm believer of living your life, not caring what others think, and not necessarily...
You're a believer of this?
Yeah. And...
You don't give a fig?
No. I really don't. Not waiting for external validation. And I believe that living up to other people's expectations of us is somehow toxic for everyone. But...
So how do you know if you're doing the right thing?
Whether we like it or not, we are social creatures, right? And there's a certain degree of norm that we kind of have to abide to in order to be able to live a harmonious, relatively peaceful life and be able to have healthy relationships in general. And as Muslim women, we're not an exception. I also cannot deny that there's a great amount of double standards, you know, directed toward the Muslim community when it comes to the society's expectations of a Muslim woman and a Muslim man. I don't want to turn this into a battle of genders. It's really sickening how almost every social topic in this world turns into a battle of genders. I'm not in any way a feminist at all.
I can see that.
I'm a justicist. I want justice.
Okay.
Right? We talk about society's expectations of a Muslim lady. And then I want to talk about how fair these expectations are.
How fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
And whether or not they're realistic.
That's a very good expectation.
Whether or not they have the same expectations from them. Well, maybe they don't, because men and women have totally different responsibilities. But do they hold men to these standards, as high a standards as they hold women? Because if they don't, yeah, because if they don't, then the society is going to be lopsided, right? And it's going to be dysfunctional, and the women are going to turn dysfunctional, and the men are going to turn dysfunctional, and the world will be chaotic, and it will burn as we see it now today.
Actually, last night I was reading this book, this really nice book that I'm falling in love with. It's called Identity of Iranian Men in the Area of Qajar, and one more era, which is very close to this era. And it talks about how the definition...
It's a Farsi book?
Yeah, it's a Farsi book. Actually, my professors in university introduced us this book. And since I'm in love with gender studies, men's identity, I got this book and I'm reading it very carefully, like line by line, not like novel reading. I'm reading it like analytically. This book actually talks about who was considered as a good man. And he talks about...
Back in those times.
Back in those days. About... 100 years ago, a century ago.
Oh, the world has changed so much
right,
since.
Right, exactly. And it talks about the concept of javan mardi or chivalry. And then it says that, like, how in the passage of 2 or 3 decades, this whole definition changes, right? Like, it was actually saying that it doesn't really matter from which walk of life you are, whether you're an aristocrat or whether you are down there.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. There were specific criteria or standards that if any man had that, like protectiveness of the fellow men in his neighborhood, fellow men and women and children in his neighborhood, being caring about them. If he saw like someone bothering them, he would come to the rescue. The other one was generosity and kindness. It reminded me the qualities of Robin Hood, that even sometimes it was written that they would raid caravans that were coming like from Russia, that were going all the way to the Qajar king, a caravan holding a lot of gold and silver and gems and jewelry, and they would stop them. They would distribute the money and the goods among poor people in the neighborhood.
Fascinating.
Would you believe that?
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Thank you again for joining us. We've been talking about some really interesting stuff.
Sometimes, Zainab, when we're watching cartoons and when we're watching animation movies of... the Disney, right? Like the Aladdin or Robin Hood, any of these, they have like a very, they're coming from real backgrounds. Although they are made dramatic.
Art imitates real life.
Exactly. And I didn't believe that until I read history.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just saying that, and so at one stage of time, this is how a good man was described. Later on, when you move into history, because your question was that we have double standards for a Muslim lady. Last night, the pages that I was reading was about how the men, like athletic men, who was considered to be an athletic man physically and ethically. Mm-hmm. And like in the about 120 or 30 years back, mm-hmm. when men used to go to the zurkhanas, mm-hmm. right, where only men came, and there was no place for, even now, the zurkhanas are not a place that women can attend in Iran, right? So ethical qualities were super important as one of the main characters of a champ. As we move on in the era of Qajar and after, where rich people came into the, they bought their own zurkhanas, they built their own zurkhanas. And so physical strength, like in the zurkhana, you stay still and you do your exercises. After 20 or 30 years, you had to move. Motion was something very important, and physical structure became one of the positive standards, one of the very good qualities that that an athlete should have. Mm-hmm. But 20 or 30 years back, it wasn't really important if you had like, if you were, you know,
broad shoulders,
muscles. It wasn't really important. Ethics was very important. Mm. Nowadays, Zaina, when you're looking at sports and when you're looking at athletes, ethics does not play any role. Mm. Very, very skimp, small, trivial role that it's not really important. What's really important is what you wear and how you are, like your height, your muscles, your weight.
And your skills on the field.
Exactly. So you're right. But we have to see that, and this is something really bad that has been happening, and this is going on in women's sports as well.
There was so much on my mind in my bed I lay. I turned to my side and I heard a voice say, stop all your whining, heart rate's declining, you've got so much more than most. Look how you're sleeping, how much you've eaten, don't you know that you're supposed to say, soba and sugar are wonderful things. The praises to Allah we should always sing. When things go right, it's from Him, not me. And when they are wrong, we get through patiently. I got out of bed, began to walk. Bumped into some folks and we started to talk. Did you hear about the killing, the bloodshed, the stealing? The grass got burnt on the other side. Soldiers are coming, people are running, all that's left is the orphan child. Sabr and shukr are wonderful things. The praises to Allah we should always sing. When things go right, it's from Him, not me. And when they are wrong, we get through patiently. I opened my eyes and began to see.
When I look at like the top-notch athletes,
Do have some ethical figures.
Yeah, and also like their true sportsmanship is still valued in them. Though this is totally irrelevant to the topic of our discussion. Please carry on.
Yeah, but the thing is that how we get our standards, how do we get our values from?
It definitely has become more superficial.
Exactly, and more physical. Mm-hmm. Like I'm following.
I blame Hollywood for this, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if we have to blame ourselves and how weak our values are that we quickly just, you know, as the wind blows to one direction, we just follow it. We have to blame ourselves.
And now that we're aware, it's time to blame ourselves. But when like Hollywood began to take the world by storm and raise certain standards, create actually certain standards and glamorize those standards and those attributes, people didn't know what was going on. And the masses just drifted toward it, whether men or women.
Because they were so empty of themselves.
And they weren't aware, really, with every piece of technology that comes.
You know where this comes from? Asian, Eastern, Middle Eastern countries, Muslim countries, were, you know, in the very advent of Islam, we were leading countries.
Yeah.
Right? We had a lot of power, a lot of wealth, politically, socially, economically. And then as the years went by, we shifted away from the direction of Islam, and so many non-Islamic criterion values became valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
In the field of gender studies and women's studies, what the Prophet was trying to propagate and what the Prophet was trying to spread and teach people in the society, what the society actually believed in and considered as valuable was something totally different.
Oh, wow.
This is actually part of the speech of Lady Fatima.
Yeah, exactly.
Salamullah alayha. That she said, where are you guys going? You know, in the last days of her her life, that when she was in her deathbed and the women came to her and to see her and, you know, to pay her visit, she said, I am so upset with your men. I open every day with this notion, with this thought that you guys took away one right from my husband. He wouldn't have even used, and he would have used nothing from the Muslim treasury.
Exactly.
He would have consumed the least amount of possible. He wouldn't use your money to build more money. He wouldn't use it for his family. This is what really influential political figures are doing these days, right? They are, after one or two or three terms of being in the government, they become super rich.
And
because
loaded
of their
for
ties,
life, like covered, yeah, exactly.
Right? And so, like 2, 3, 4 generations of their family will be filthy rich until the end of their lives. Lady Fatima was exactly touching upon this specific point, that if you go with Ali alayhi salam, your dunya and your akhirah will be safe.
Yeah, our time came to an end, definitely.
And we didn't even. We just
scratched the surface on this immensely
an
deep and very complex topic. And if you guys want to know where this leads to, make sure to tune in to future episodes of Muslim Lady. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and we now present you words of wisdom from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Faith stands on 4 supports. They are dependence upon God, entrustment with God, submission to the decision of God, and satisfaction with the acts of God. Disbelief stands on 4 supports. They are the desire for worldly pleasures, fear from missing any worldly pleasure, anger, and passion. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza. Hundreds of Pakistani youths have flown their kites from rooftops in the city of Rawalpindi, celebrating an ancient tradition despite a ban imposed on the festival. People buy or make their own kites to participate in the festival, marking the arrival of spring. Local fairs are also held on this day, where families meet and vendors sell food and decorative clothing. Many people wear different shades of yellow to welcome the new season. The festival can become competitive too, with kite-fighting battles. In pursuit of victory, some kite flyers started using powdered glass of metal or metal on their kite strings to cut down other kites. The event was prohibited in 2007 after a slew of fatal accidents. The 37th edition of Fajr International Music Festival has wrapped up with an awards ceremony. During the annual event, music bands from Iran and the world took to the stage to perform their tunes. Yusuf Jalali has more.
From Iran's genuine traditional music to Italian tunes and Afghanistan's Qawwali music, music bands from many parts of the world have been performing on the stage of Iran's Fajr Music Festival. The 37th edition of the week-long event now came to an end with an award ceremony in Tehran, with best music performances cheered and awarded.
In the past 2 years, when the pandemic has cancelled concerts, my team focused on producing albums. I produced three albums, and one of them, titled Prime Meridian, won the award tonight.
Fortunately, I won the award for Best Composer tonight. I'm so glad that I was recognized and my work has been seen and appreciated in Iran's most prestigious music festival.
Italian jazz pianist Giovanni Guidi. Egyptian oud virtuoso Mohammed Abu Zikri. And German pianist Moritz Ernst were among the participants who performed during the festival. As the host, Iran had a strong presence, with pop, classic, and traditional music ensembles performing in the festival. Music bands say Fajr Festival is one of the most ethnically diverse music events, where musicians with different nationalities can enjoy each other's performances.
No nation is at war with any other nation. It's the politics that imposes wars and divides nations. Now, such festivals help different nations to come together and listen to each other's music. This definitely bridges the gaps caused by politics.
Fajr International Music Festival is held as part of the nationwide celebrations in Iran, marking the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. After a two-year hiatus, the 37th Fajr Music Festival was held in person, but with a limited capacity amid the spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Fajr Music Festival offers a rare chance to listen to live music performances from different parts of the world. And this is where music transcends boundaries and interconnects nations, as it is a universal language that everyone can feel for and enjoy, no matter where they come from. I'm Yusuf Jalali in Tehran.
The city of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix, a fusion of different music, and that's always interesting, and it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy and, like, yeah, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls. In all of Joshimilco,
There are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets. But to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
Now for those who are interested in archaeology, the remains of 14 mummies have been unearthed at an ancient site in central Peru. The mummies, believed to be over 1,000 years old, include 6 children and 8 adults. The tomb containing the bodies was found at an archaeological complex about 25 kilometers from the capital, Lima. Researchers discovered other objects such as clay pots, decorated calabashes, and some knitting gears near the mummies. They believe the children and adults were sacrificed in honor of a prominent local figure whose mummified body was found last November in the same area. Van Dalen says the discovery provides them with the oldest evidence of child sacrifice associated with the burial of an elite character in the pre-Inca era. The city of Cajamarquia, which was built out of mud in around 200 BC, is considered as one of the largest archaeological complexes in Peru.
A miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he's of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk. An Indonesian man frees a crocodile of a tire that was stuck around its neck some 6 years ago. Tilly, a self-taught rescuer and resident of Central Sulawesi province, captured the reptile and cut the tire using a small saw with the help of some locals. The animal had been too smart to be trapped. Tilly says he had been tracking the reptile for weeks using a basic trap with a rope tied to a log. He used live chickens and dogs as bait to lure the reptile. The crocodile drew the sympathy of local residents who worried the tire would choke as it grows in size. Tilly says his main motive was to help animals, claiming it was not his first experience dealing with a crocodile.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about hope for Allah. Be with us.
So far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and further away from you. Ooh, Allah, you brought me home. I thank every breath I take.
Today, Wednesday, is the 21st of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As all Muslims all around the world, we start with the Holy Quran. For today, chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 214.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannata walamma ya'tikum mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum. مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب.
Or do you think that you will enter paradise while such trial has not yet come to you as came to those who passed on before you? They were touched by poverty and hardship and were shaken until even their messenger and those who believed with him said, "When is the help of Allah?" Unquestionably, the help of Allah is near.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy
Quran. Some of the commentators say that this verse was revealed on the occasion of the Battle of Ahzab, or the Confederate, when the Muslims got impatient and terribly terrified in the battle. So they, being surrounded by the enemy, began asking about the help of Allah the Almighty. It is also reported that when Muslims were defeated in the Battle of Uhud, a pagan reproaching them inquired, "Until when those Muslims were going to give themselves in death?" And he added that if Muhammad was really the messenger of Allah, then he would not let his companions be captured or killed. At that moment, the verse was revealed.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allah.
For Allah. Hoping for the reward of Allah is one of the most supreme and honorable ranks of one who pursues the right path. Allah the Almighty praises those who do that. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah says, "O son of Adam, if you supplicate to me, expecting my forgiveness, I will forgive you however great or many your sins be made." When a person has hope, it means that he or she is bound and attached to these names of his or her Lord: the Benevolent, the Beneficent, The more one knows of Allah the Almighty, His names, attributes, and the dominance of His mercy over His wrath, the more his or her hope increases in Him. Had it not been for hope, the servitude of heart and organs to Allah would have ceased. The monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques, where the name of Allah is frequently mentioned, would have been demolished. If not for the spirit of hope, our limbs would not have performed acts of obedience.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with having hope in God, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that, worldly life, mostly associated with worries, problems, troubles, or other unfavorable consequences. This is something quite natural because, all these hardships and problems and concerns and worries are for the sake of educating people. People are going to be trained and receive moral perfection in this way. So you know that those people who understand that this transitory world, this worldly life, which is quite transitory, is going to be followed by a longer and eternal life. And here is the world of testing and the world of putting everybody, under trial. Everybody would make oneself, ready for receiving these examinations and consequences to be followed by greater rewards or sometimes punishment to be followed in the world hereafter. Because of this, we find that, everybody is expected to have ultimate hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in God. Please note carefully that the eternal and boundless power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His really boundness and immense knowledge regarding everything and everybody cannot be escaped. All of us are surrounded by many powers that they direct us, and they also, give us some encouragement, and sometimes they give us some warnings. Now we find that, such was in the case with regard to the divine prophets.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Hope and success. We can preserve our mental stability by using correct methods, a strong belief, and relying on Allah at sensitive stages of individual and social problems. Be satisfied and appreciative of what you have, such a wealth, vocation, spouse, and children. Think about their values and righteousness. Never compare your life with the well-to-do life of another, but compare it with persons who are less fortunate than yourself, because the latter will make you reassured, content, and satisfied with your blessings granted by Allah. Salman al-Farsi, the great follower of the Messenger of Allah, may Allah keep his soul in peace, says, "The Prophet devised me to consider 7 points in any case. The first one is to look at the people who lead a life lower than mine, and not to the people who are higher than me. The other is to love the oppressed and accompany them."
سيد الأكوان هو المنان. the source of all power, my need in my darkest hour, my Lord.
Dear brothers and sisters, on the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we'll look at one of the tips for remaining hope, and that is acceptance. Yes, without accepting your life as it is, you remain focused on what was, which keeps you in the past and unable to move forward. While acceptance is not about being happy with your situation, it is about acknowledging that things have changed and then renavigating your life from there. It is important to realize that a lot of energy can be wasted trying to change the unchangeable. In a dua and supplication, we read, Allah, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Part of moving forward is accepting and taking stock of what you still have and being grateful for those things and then using them to your greatest potential.
Hope can be used by the shaitan against us to destroy our faith, to destroy our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another hadith, he states, ثَمَرَةُ الْأَمَلِ فَسَادُ الْعَمَلِ. He says, those hopeful in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ruin what they have to offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm hopeful Allah is always going to forgive all my sins. I am hopeful that next year I will wear the hijab. Next year I will go to Hajj. Next year I will repent. Next year I'm going to change my life. Next week I'm going to, for example, go to the masjid and repent and change my bad habits. When we have such a hope in us, false hope, then it ruins the product that we ought to take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we're given the chance, and next week, next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, we live and we repent, and we die and we end up in paradise. This is the best, most hopeful scenario. There Allah says, Ya Rasulullah, tell the people, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. Warn them of the day where they will all be regretful. The ones going to punishment will be regretful. Even the ones in heaven will be regretful. Why? He says, why was I in the obedience, in the state of obedience for 5 years in my life, 10 years of my life, 20 years of my life? When he looks at the position and the mercy and the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll say, I wish I spent every moment of my life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the pleasure and the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, brothers, sisters, let us not live dreams of being hopeful that we're going to live forever. We're always going to be given a chance. Let us make sure we take the right measures.
On this episode of today's special, we spoke about hope for Allah, and generally our topic was about hope. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, fi amanah.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbil Alameen, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah, alayhi barakatullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.